the message is titled, What on Earth Are We Here For? We're thinking about, why does Gisborne Church of Christ exist? René Descartes, the 15th century philosopher, he said, I think, therefore I am. In other words, because I think, I must exist. So that was his statement. If you've done any philosophy stuff in uni or anything like that, you'll always find that. But sometimes I think the church is a bit like that. The church is here, therefore it exists. You know, we must do something. We must be here. But what are we here for? So that's what the series is all about. What are we here for? We do exist. There's a building. There's a group of people. We meet regularly. But what for? Why are we here in the township of Gisborne? So, who can tell me the three topics that we've covered already? Just pop your hand up. And last week we had a couple of people sort of gave individually. Who can think of all three? All three? Yep. Evangelism, yeah. Help making heaven crowded. Holy's little slogan, yeah. Third one? Go to the third one. Yep, worship. The third one was? Discipleship. Well done. Okay. Fantastic. That's what we're here for so far. That's what we're thinking about. There's a couple more to come. So one today, one next week. After that, I made a little mistake when I advertised the cruise. But next week I'm up with the last one. Then we've got Morris. No, we've got Josh. Then we've got Morris. Then we're launching into the midwinter cruise. Okay, so just keep that in mind as we, a couple of weeks, we've got a couple of other people, which is a good thing. So we're here to make heaven crowded. We're here to worship God. We're here to grow and mature in our faith. Okay, sort of theological words we've used around that. Holy slogan, making heaven crowded, that's sensational. I still love that. Every time I think about it, I love it. Now, I just have to say, it is not Holly's slogan. Holly has said she heard it somewhere, she's seen it somewhere, and in her testimony when she was doing the PM service, she mentioned that. So, but we don't care about that. We're calling it Holly's little slogan. We love Holly, so it's Holly's little slogan. But I received an email during the week, and someone else had been chatting with a couple of other people about the worship message, and they came up with a little slogan, and it was emailed through to me, and the slogan was, we don't have to worship, we get to. As in, it's a privilege. That's all right, isn't it? Yeah, that's good. Now, that got me thinking. I'm going to open up another competition, not the Midwinter Cruise one, it's another competition for our congregation, our really creative congregation, to come up with a slogan for each of the five topics. All right? I think, as far as I'm concerned, Holly cemented the first one. She's got making heaven crowded. We've got another four to go. My effort with the worship one was worship because he's worth it. Now I am the judge of this competition, and I'm winning that one. So thanks for the effort that you gave. But let's come up with five. Let's come up with five. Let's see how creative we are, and we'll come up with five that are just easy to remember, and we know what we're on about. We know what we're going to do. So what on earth are we here for? Seems that today's topic is we're here to win competitions, but no, there's something a bit more serious than that. We are here for this week for ministry. Today's topic is ministry. Gisborne Church of Christ exists to serve one another. Now, in my mind, I've just got a couple of things that I just want to differentiate for you. Now, I'm not quite sure how theologically accurate this is. Now, you might like to debate that over lunch. That's okay. Debate it with somebody else, not me. But this is how I think of it. I think it's helpful, and it's particularly helpful for what I'm going to talk about today anyway. I think there's a difference between ministry and service. It's just a little technical thing. Often when we're talking about ministry and service, they sort of interlap, and you can sort of start your sentence with ministry, you can end it with service. It just overlaps. But for me, service is helping out. Ministry is serving in the life of the church in an area suited to your giftedness. So for me, ministry, when I think about ministry, that's where we get to serve in the life of the church according to our giftedness. Service is helping out, and it can be anywhere. That works for me. As I said, maybe there's some theological debate about all of that, but you can debate it. But for me, it differentiates us, because ministry, according to my giftedness, service doesn't have to be giftedness, it can be anything. We just roll up our sleeves and pitch in and get stuck into what needs to be done. There are things that need to be done in the life of the church. They don't need particular spiritual gifts, like setting up and packing up the chairs, serving on the welcoming roster or the morning tea roster. It doesn't take a particular spiritual gift to get the coffee machines working and to jiggle the tea bags. That's just service. We just do that sort of stuff. Now, within all of that, there is a gift of helps, a spiritual gift of helps. And some people just love to help. If there's a roster, their name is on it. If they're not, their name isn't on the roster, they're helping out anyway. They just get part of it. Anyone can serve. Anybody can help. But some people have that particular gift, and that's okay. But the rest of us, we can help. And in a church our size, there's lots of things that need help. There are lots of things that we can roll up our sleeves and get involved in. Ministry is getting involved where your spiritual gift best fits. Now, really, really quickly, I want to touch on spiritual gifts. Really quickly. This probably demands a series on its own, but just really quickly this morning. When a person becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your soul. And part of what the Holy Spirit does as he is living in you is that he gives you a spiritual gift. He gives you, and the definition that I came across during the week, a spiritual gift is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit to every believer to be used to serve others, which will benefit the church. A spiritual gift is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit to every believer to be used to serve others, which will benefit the church. So really quickly, really, really quickly, every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. You might have more, but you've got at least one. No one has all of the gifts. No one spiritual gift every Christian has. The spiritual gifts are given for us to use to build up the church, and the Holy Spirit gives them as he sees fit. He might give this person this particular gift. He might give that person a different particular gift. He might give that person a different gift again. Plus, he might give an additional one, which is the same as that one. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit gets to determine who gets what. It's not us to determine what one we might like. Therefore, I'm going to race after this. The Holy Spirit determines it. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, the Holy Spirit has given each of us a special way of serving others. That special ability to be able to do something in the life of the church, and we are able to do it well. And I like to think better rather than thinking of well, good, bad or otherwise. I think it is effective for the kingdom of God. It bears fruit. So the point of the message today is that we don't leave the work of the church to just a willing few. We need to find out which area of ministry we best fit. So my first point that I want us to consider today as we think about the life of the church, as we think about our involvement, who are we in the life of the church, is that we need to get involved. We all need to get involved to make the church function. And to make the church function in the way that Jesus wants it to function. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 and 5, and then on down to 27, it says, now there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it's the same Lord we are serving. Now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary, part of it. Over the years in my churches, I ran training courses to help people work out what their spiritual gift was. And the goal of the courses was that when a person knew what their spiritual gift was, then they could get involved in a ministry of the church that best suited their gift. But at the end of the courses, a lot of the participants said, I still don't know what my gift is. Now, that might say more about me than anybody else and the way I conducted that training stuff. I'm happy to acknowledge that. But over the years, my shifting has changed. My thinking has changed. Rather than discovering what your spiritual gift is so that you can plug into a ministry, I just want to encourage you to just get involved. Just get involved. Get involved in something. Give it a go. See how you feel about it. Because what happens is that a lot of people, they do the course, or we sit here in church and we hear about spiritual gifts and what's my spiritual gift. Don't know what my spiritual gift is. So we sort of hold back a little bit. We hold back. I don't know what my spiritual gift is, so I'm not going to get involved just in case I sort of get involved in the wrong thing. Well, I want to say to you, just get involved. Get involved in something that interests you. That's the starting point. What interests me? What about the life of the church interests me? Get involved in that, and as you are involved, you might discover your spiritual gift. You see, when you get involved, you really like doing a particular thing, and you see that God's at work, that things are happening when you are doing something in a particular ministry. You might get involved in the Sunday school. It might be your turn to teach the kids a Bible lesson. And you discover the kids are captivated by what you're saying. And next week they remember everything that you taught them. And they love you and they keep saying, when are you teaching us next? When are you teaching us next? And you say, oh, I won't be here next week. And the kids break down in inconsolable crying and they're so upset. Well, I'd suggest that you've probably got a ministry in there and you've probably got a gift of teaching. The kids love it when you teach them about the Bible, teach them about Jesus, teach them about God. Does that make sense? But if you hadn't got involved in the Sunday school, but you sort of had to think, oh, I'd like to get involved in the Sunday school. You get involved, you have a go, and you discover something. Do it. Do it. That's what I'm encouraging you to do. Maybe when you suggest to the kids that you won't be here next week, you've got involved in the Sunday school and, oh, I won't be here next week, and the kids throw a party in celebration because you're not going to be here next week. What did you learn? Probably not my ministry and it's probably not my gift. What do you do? I had a go. I've just embarrassed myself. I'm not doing anything again. No. You had a go. You learned something. That's not where I fit. Where next? And you have another go. And maybe you need to have another go. And maybe you need to have another go. But at some point, you are going to find a place that you love being part of, because that's what spiritual gifts do when you're using your spiritual gift. You love it. You love being part of it. You've discovered what it is. And I'm going to do it again and again and again and again and again for the kingdom of God. The second thing that we need to understand when we think about getting involved, when we think about ministry in the life of the church, is get involved where you best fit. So we can all get involved in something. We get involved and we realise, well, that's not where I fit. So we pull out and we get involved in something else. So get involved where you best fit. That is what you're trying to determine. Where do I best fit in the life of the church? Romans 12:6-8, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. That just sounds nice, doesn't it, as you read that, describing the gift, the life of the church. That sounds fantastic. Let me just say a little bit more about spiritual gifts. I want to go back to that definition that we put up. A spiritual gift is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit to every believer to be used to serve others which will benefit the church. And when you use that special ability, that spiritual gift that God has given you, it will have a positive impact on the people that you are serving. That's one of the things you're thinking about. What's going on when I'm involved in this? Is it having a positive impact? Or is everybody thinking, I wish they wasn't doing that? And we have to be honest. We have to think about our own involvement and be honest. Is God doing something through what I'm doing? If your gift of teaching, people will understand and learn. That's what you're looking for. If you think, well, I think I've got a bit of a gift of teaching. Well, to try and determine whether you have or you haven't, are people understanding what you're saying? Are they learning stuff? Or do you just like going on and on and on and on and on and on and on? You feel terrific about yourself because you managed to teach for 3 hours and everybody's gone. Okay, what impact is this having on people? If your gift is evangelism, people will give their life to Jesus. I think evangelism is a gift in my life. I don't think it's a major one. I don't think it's a high giftedness, but I think it's there. High giftedness in my mind, somebody gets on the train or the plane and by the time they finish their trip, the person's given their life to Jesus. That is not me. That is not me, faith. That Kath knows the whole detail, the whole life of people by the time they finish the trip. She knows everything about that person. We get off the train and she says, do you know that person used to... No way, she goes, I sit on the train and look out the window. I don't want to talk to anybody else when I'm on the train or on the plane. But I think God has given me a gift of evangelism so that when I explain the gospel, people understand, and many people over the years have given their life to Jesus. And that's the point. Do I have a gift of evangelism? Well, if people are giving their life to Jesus because of your involvement in sharing the gospel, well, you just might have. Is your gift healing? How do you tell? Well, people get healed. If people are not getting healed, then you don't have a gift of healing. Some of those things are pretty simple. And as we get involved and we have a go, we've got to identify what is happening when I'm involved. Now remember I talked about the 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. I threw that out there a little while back. Now the problem with that, apart from exhaustion, is that often well-intentioned people are serving in the wrong place. Because there's a need, because there's things to do, and we want to help, and I've said that, I'm encouraging people to serve, get involved, roll your sleeves up. But sometimes we just get involved so heavily in some area that it doesn't actually suit us. Our giftedness is somewhere else. And we sort of get caught up in helping out and doing, you know, sharing the load. But there's a whole area of ministry that we will be much more effective in. Be much more effective for the kingdom of God. So it's not just about getting involved. It's getting involved where you best fit according to your spiritual gift. If your gift is teaching, well, teach. You could teach in Sunday school. You could teach a Bible study group. Maybe you could teach the How to Discover Your Spiritual Gift training course. Because I'm no good at it. But if your gift is teaching and you're stuck trying to come up with social activities for the youth group, it isn't going to work on a number of levels. You will be frustrated because you are doing something that's not giving you pleasure. Giftedness gives you pleasure. And you, week after week, you're trying to think, well, what are we going to do to make this fun for the kids? And week after week, you're sort of thinking, oh, I've got to do it again, I've got to do it again, I've got to do it again. And it's not fulfilling. And the kids will be frustrated because they're expecting fun stuff every week and you give them Bible quizzes every week because you're a teacher. You want the kids to know stuff. Let's imagine. Let's just imagine. Just for a little minute. Let's imagine a church that is led by people with gifts of leadership. A church that's taught by people with gifts of teaching and preaching. A church that's administered by gifted administrators. A church that's supported by people with a gift of wisdom and prophecy and knowledge. A church that's encouraged by people with gifts of encouragement, faith and miracles. A church that's loved by people with gifts of mercy, hospitality and pastoral care. Where people have saved because people are using their gift of evangelism. And we're through the week and behind the scenes. Everything that needs to happen is supported by people with gifts of helps. They've already set everything up and you can't stop these people from helping. They've just got to be involved. Imagine a church like that. Folks, I want to be part of a church like that. I think we all want to be part of a church like that. We sometimes look at other churches, and maybe we look at bigger churches, and they've got all of these things, and they just happen so well. Well, I think people have just got plugged into the right areas. And we can be that. We can be that. We can just get plugged into the right areas. I believe that God has given us who we are. We're averaging about 70 people Sunday by Sunday morning. We're averaging about 30 people at the PM service. I believe that God has given us all the spiritual gifts that He wants us to have to do what He wants us to do. I believe that God has given us all the spiritual gifts that He wants us to have so that we can do what He wants us to do. We might not be able to do all the things that a church of 1,000 people can do. We can't do that. Jesus doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't want us to be that. He just wants us to do what He's given us the spiritual gifts to do. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? If you don't, just get involved. Just get involved anyway and you might discover it. Have a go at something that you think might suit you. If you find it doesn't suit you, just pull out and have a go at something else. If you do know what your spiritual gift is, if you've got a bit of an inkling, just over the years, maybe you've done a course by somebody who can teach it better than me, and you've sort of discovered, yeah, I think that's me. Folks, you should be using it. You should be using it. Gisborne Church of Christ exists for evangelism, making heaven crowded. We exist to worship because He's worth it. We exist for discipleship, helping each other mature in our faith. And we exist for ministry, using our spiritual gifts to serve others. And there's one more to come. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, as we work through this series, there's some implications for us. And Lord, sometimes in the life of the church, we need a rest. Well, many of the folks here, a number of the folks here have said to me, well, I sort of feel a bit physically past it. Lord, we acknowledge those people. We acknowledge what they've done that's made them tired. We acknowledge those people who for decades have been involved in the church. We thank You for them. But Lord, we know too that we need to be involved in some way, in a way that You've wired us up according to the giftedness that You've given us. And Lord, I pray that as we ponder that, as we think about that, as we bring it before You, as we challenge our hearts and our minds, and as we challenge our time in a time-poor era of life, well, maybe we need to rearrange our schedule a bit. Maybe we need to determine what have we added into our schedule that shouldn't be there because it stops us from being who You want us to be. Lord, I pray that as we go forward, just day by day, week by week, month by month, as we step into the future that You've got for us, that we would learn to serve, and that we would really learn the area of church life that best suits us, so that we can be effective for Your kingdom, so that we can make a positive difference for Your kingdom, so that our church won't just be all about us, but our church will be known. It'll be known by our community. It'll be known by heaven as a place that's doing everything that we possibly can to achieve all the things that you want us to achieve. Right here and right now. Lord, help us to be that. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.